Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. We have some updates from Ukraine. It appears there was a massive assault on a secret NATO-U.S. command post in Kiev, with dozens of top U.S. officers evaporated using Russian hypersonic missiles. According to sources familiar with political behind-the-scenes of Bandersnatch, the blow fell on the bunker control and planning centers, as well as air defense and radar. Insiders reported heavy losses among the officers, including American ones. It seems the shadow general staff with a proxy NATO got a lot. The sentence is incomplete. I'd say they appear to have been wiped out. Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of Ukraine announced data on the night before the 8th to 9th, today, of course, being the 10th. According to him, 81 missiles were fired at Ukrainian targets by the Russian side, including KH-47, Kinhal, X-22, KH-101, KH-555, as well as 8 German unmanned aerial vehicles. He also boasted that allegedly independent anti-aircraft gunners shot down 34, and 8 did not reach their goals as a result of organized opposition. This is a Ukrainian commander claiming they had success shooting down Russian missiles. Ukro, Brava, Druvi, Zolini do not believe. They believe the independent air defense was able to chalk up only dummy and Gerani missiles for obvious reasons. Neither Zeluny, that's the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, nor Zelensky, of course the president, will provide details. Judging by the moon in Erknet, real despondency reigns on Bankoyova. Later, the speaker of the Oriana forces of Ukraine, Ignat spoke, in particular, he said, this was the first time At night, six Kinzhal missiles were fired at Ukraine. They're also known as daggers. Daggers are much more dangerous than other Russian missiles. They're capable of flying at hypersonic speed, which are 10 times the speed of sound, and can maneuver in flight. It is virtually impossible for air defense system to shoot down the Kinzhal, since the missile rises up 20 kilometers and dies at great speed on the target. Adding that in his memory, there has never been such a dangerous arrival, meaning they have never been hit before by such serious missiles. Zelensky himself was forced to admit a hard night. The audience noted the president coming out looked like a beaten dog. There were no words about interception in his speech. According to sources familiar with the politics behind the scene, the blow fell on the bunker control and planning centers as well as on air defense and radar. According to rumors circulating on the Urkonek on March 9th, yesterday, a large delegation of the Ukraine General Staff visited the American Embassy in Kiev. It seems a transfer of lists of StarTribe 200 took place. Precisely what that would be, I do not know. In addition, it became known of hits on the IRIS-R and NASAM air defense system, which were worked out on dummy missiles and destroyed by the X's flying behind. What is indicative? Those Ukrainian internet sources reporting this were blocked by the independent Minsvra. As many as 25 publics immediately fell under the distribution, which indirectly indicates hysteria in the Kiev junta. In other words, sorting out this kind of butchered report, it appears they've suffered a massive serious loss that this really was the command and control center being run by NATO and U.S. officers that was demolished. Based on the mass use of the Kinzhal missiles, it can be assumed Russia has established mass production of these missiles, and they have no problem with components. The head of the Ministry of Energy of Ukraine, Herman Galushchenko, is forced to admit that the missile attack damaged at least three thermal power plants. It must be assumed he lied in the smaller direction, in others that he was minimizing. So what we're talking about is a translation from what I presume was Ukrainian. Another well-known blogger called for the official damage data to be multiplied by three. According to him, loud was in 12 regions and everywhere with serious destruction in 10 now. A strong fire continues at CHPB-5 in Kiev. The arrival took place in the turbine hall, so we're not talking about a quick restoration of generation. Public Kharkiv told about at least 15 explosions and attacks on Chip 3 and Chip 5. Whether they were damaged is still unknown. The local residents wrote about power and water outages. Separately, the assumption is voiced that the secret barracks of the armed forces of Ukraine were destroyed since the SVU began filtration measures. In the Zaporizhia region, five missiles immediately hit a critical infrastructure facility that prior the Ukrainska Pravda newspaper reported signed officials from the regional administration. Read more. Armed forces of Ukraine will soon receive cyber Armageddon. Russian hackers are preparing destructive operations against Kiev. Residents of Pavlinograd, Primorsk, and Dniprokopetrovsk districts of the ex-Dniprokopetrovsk are sure that the substation Yuzhnaya is everything destroyed, meaning, I take it, completely destroyed although it was covered by foreign-made air defense systems. Loud was at the Krivosinka TPP, but the territory is cordoned off, so there's extremely little information. Typically, such measures of secrecy are correlated with the level of damage. The larger it is, the more secretive the power is coming out. In the Volyna region, the residents heard the strongest explosion in Lutsk and Kavertsky. The blow was so powerful the ceiling fell in a number of houses. According to preliminary data, Lutsk-Severnaya substation and the military airfield were damaged. Odessa Freyer, this is another blogger, informed about the next destruction of energy facilities in the region. Most likely, Dadzhelia substation was smashed into the trash in Odessa. New, more stringent schedules for stabilization shutdowns, the local power grids from DTEK have already been published. However, the previous ones were not respected. Thus, the RF, that would be Russian Federation Armed Forces, continue to turn off the switch to Ukraine and with the use of the more powerful Kinzhal missiles. For Bandera and their Star Stripe puppeteers, it finally began to dawn there was no longer any place in Enko where one could hide. If, for example, the Kremlin considered it is time to twist Zelensky, then it will be so. I suggest this means a truly serious, potentially fatal blow has been struck to the Ukrainian military by taking out the covert NATO-US command and control center in Kiev. Just as I believe Bakhmut has been the decisive battle of the war, this may well turn out to be the pivotal moment of taking out the ability of Ukraine to maintain a fight against Russia. Meanwhile, propaganda remains unabated, especially attempting to deflect attention away from Seymour Hersh and his report on Nord Stream having been taken out by a special U.S. Navy group under control of President Biden, which is consistent with everything we know to be the case, and where I have no doubt whatsoever Seymour Hersh got it right. So I highly recommend everyone ought to read an article by Mike Whitney that gives a broader geopolitical assessment of the situation, where the gas pipeline between Russia and Germany were going to create a super center of economic activity in Western Europe, the prospect of which has now been completely destroyed by the United States, damaging its allies in Europe and especially Germany overwhelmingly more severely than any harm caused of Russia, which is now looking for an alternative source for its natural resources, especially natural gas, and found it by going east to China. So the net result of this effort to preempt the prospect of a super economic community being produced in Europe because of collusion between Russia and Germany especially, that would have demonstrated conclusively that NATO was an anachronism, no longer needed, that Europe no longer needed to expend vast sums on expensive military equipment from the United States especially. That would have left the U.S. on the outside looking in. The efforts to forestall this prospect are having very different and potentially even more ominous geopolitical results, because now we have an alignment between Russia and China Which the West, frankly, had hoped would never come to pass, but have now brought about of their own doing. Russia has the vast natural resources China needs to become and remain a world superpower. Where the emergence of BRICS, the Shanghai Cooperative, the Silk Road and all that trading from China to Europe through Iran is moving forward apace, and there's not a damn thing the United States can do about it. We did what those in power thought was their best by destroying a pipeline, which was an egregious act of war because it affected infrastructure and the civilian population. It was, in addition, a war crime. It's impossible to conceal the fact the United States was responsible in spite of the best efforts of propagandists to promote. Thus, Russia reacts to new Nord Stream claims that a mysterious pro-Ukraine group carried out the pipeline blast, which the Kremlin describes as a hoax campaign. And of course, they are correct. Western media reports exonerating NATO state actors from involvement in the explosions that ruptured the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines have the hallmarks of a synchronized misinformation campaign, the Kremlin told journalists Wednesday. Press Secretary Dmitry Peskov said it looked like an attempt to deflect attention from the real culprits. The anonymously sourced reports emerged just a few days after German Chancellor Olaf Scholz visited Washington, where he met with U.S. President Joe Biden and other officials. On Tuesday, the New York Times reported, citing U.S. officials and unspecified new intelligence, that a pro-Ukrainian group may have been behind the September attack on the pipelines, which connected Russia and Germany under the Baltic. The outlet's unnamed sources also claimed no American or British nationals were involved in the incident. It's just absurd! Just absurd! On the same day, German state broadcaster ARD, SWR Radio, and Die Zeit newspaper claimed German investigators looking into the incident had found the yacht reportedly used in the attack belonged to a Polish-based company owned by two Ukrainians. In other words, they're going about fabricating evidence to substantiate a ridiculous, indefensible account. Last month, veteran U.S. journalist Seymour Hersh published an investigation laying the blame on Washington for orchestrating the attacks on the infrastructure, which connects Russia to Germany. The White House has denied responsibility, calling the allegations utterly false and complete fiction. In other words, just lying their face off, not only to the American people, but to the whole world. Speaking to NRIA, Novosti, Peskov said he was surprised by the fact the U.S. officials quoted in the reports could make guesses about the blast without conducting any investigation. Obviously, he observes, those who have masterminded the Nord Stream attack want to divert attention. Obviously, this is a coordinated media hoax campaign, and indeed one with zero plausibility. The Kremlin spokesman also noted Russia has still not been invited to take part in the investigation of the destruction of its own pipeline. This is not just strange, he said. It smells like a monstrous crime. At least, The shareholder countries of the pipelines in the UN should demand an urgent, transparent investigation, which would involve all parties who could shed light on the incident. Russia's embassy to the U.S. also commented on the New York Times article, with Minister Counselor Andrei Ledenev saying Moscow perceived the anonymous leaks as nothing more than an attempt to confuse those who are sincerely trying to get to the bottom of things in this egregious crime. He noted the New York Times story instantly got a green light in the local information field. He said this development was especially noteworthy, given an attempt by local officials and journalists to blatantly silence the bombshell report released by the Pulitzer Prize winner, Seymour Hersh. Now, here's a very curious report. A Czech company that produces inflatable imitation weapons, including fake American HIMARS rocket systems and Abrams tanks, reportedly uses decoys in Ukraine, announced on Monday that production orders have dramatically increased. We're talking about Hollywood-style special effects during combat operations. According to Inflatech, which produces more than 30 types of life-size inflatable military decoys, its business soared by 30% last year. The country's chief executive, Wojtek Presser, told the Associated Press that he expects growth to continue rising by double digits for at least another 3 to 5 years. Fessler refused to comment on whether the company's decoys were being used by Ukrainian forces. However, he said, I can't imagine that if we want to support a partner country which is in trouble, we would send them inflatable decoys. Or it already has them, and if not, it will have them for sure. Inflatech uses light materials such as artificial silk for the production of its decoys. As a result, a fake tank could weigh up to 100 kilograms. It reportedly takes 4 people to operate a decoy, with 10 minutes needed to unwrap and inflate it. According to the company, the fake tanks, armored vehicles, and jet fighters are used to fool the enemy on the battlefield, so they target the decoys instead of real weaponry. If I force the enemy to destroy a thing of mine by using something which is 4 times, but in reality could be 20 times more expensive, then I'm the winner economically, Presser explained to the Associated Press. Inflatech currently manufactures up to 50 decoys a month. These are reportedly sold to a number of countries, with any such exports to a NATO state requiring them to be approved by its government. Earlier this month, the U.S. Department of Defense announced it would send a new military aid package worth $400 million to Ukraine, including HIMARS rockets and artillery shells. The package is a 33rd tranche of military aid doled out to Ukraine since August of 2021. Since the beginning of Russia's military operation in Ukraine last February, Washington has reportedly provided Kiev with more than $32 billion worth of arms. Russia has long condemned the supply of Western arms to Ukraine, arguing this only prolongs the fighting without changing the outcome, about which I have no doubt. Meanwhile, as Bakhmut falls, U.S. may turn from Ukraine, starting with the pipeline story. If the Donbass city of Bakhmut falls to the Russians, the U.S. may be may need to save face in order to reverse course in Ukraine, right, Joe Loria? He's got this exactly right. On his face. The New York Times article of yesterday, intelligence suggests pro-Ukrainian group sabotage pipeline, U.S. officials say, appears intended to exonerate both the U.S. and Ukrainian governments from any involvement in the destruction last September of the Nord Stream gas pipeline between Russia and Germany. The thrust of the Times article is that Ukrainians unaffiliated with the Kiev government were the ones who did it. According to the newspapers, often cited unnamed U.S. officials. But a closer examination of the piece reveals layers of nuance that do not dismiss that the Ukrainian government may have had something to do with the sabotage after all. In fact, this was a U.S. op, I have no doubt. The story quotes anonymous European officials who say a state had to be involved in the sophisticated underwater operation. The Times goes out of its way to say more than once that that state was not the United States. And while the second paragraph of the story says categorically the state is not Ukraine either, the article leaves the door open to possible Ukrainian government involvement. U.S. officials declined to disclose the nature of the intelligence, how it was obtained, or any details of the strength of the evidence it contains. They have said that there are no firm conclusions about it, leaving open the possibility that the operation might have been conducted off the books by a proxy force with connections to the Ukrainian government or its security services. We'll be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Continuing with Joe Lauria's assessment of this report of a Ukrainian group being involved in destruction of the Nord Stream, which is obvious blatant propaganda. The Times didn't make clear what the consequences would be for the pro-Ukraine coalition that Washington has built in the combined West if there was Ukrainian government involvement. Officials said there were still enormous gaps in what U.S. spy agencies and their European partners knew about what transpired. But officials said it might constitute a first significant lead to emerge from several closely guarded investigations, the conclusion of which could have profound implications for the coalition supporting Ukraine. Any suggestion of Ukrainian involvement, whether direct or indirect, could upset the delicate relationship between Ukraine and Germany, souring support among a German public that has swallowed high energy prices in the name of solidarity. The Times further develops a theme that involvement by the Ukrainian government could destroy international support for Kiev, which the United States has built as well, as the immense public backing for Ukraine, the U.S.-led information war has developed, basically, I add, by disseminating massive quantities of false information or propaganda. The Washington Post, which yesterday ran a similar story, reported the Ukrainian government denied any involvement in the attack. Ukraine absolutely did not participate in the attack on Nord Stream 2, said Mykhailo Podolyak, top advisor to Zelensky, questioning why his country would conduct an operation that destabilizes the region and will divert attention from the war, which is categorically not beneficial to us. The newspaper here is allowing U.S. officials to begin distancing the U.S. from Ukraine, claiming Washington has limited influence on Kiev, despite years of evidence to the contrary. A piece appears to be preparing the Western public for an abrupt about-face in Ukraine because of a litany of Ukrainian operations the U.S. says it opposed. It's worth quoting the Times at length here. Quote, any findings that put blame on Kiev or Ukrainian proxies could prompt a backlash in Europe and make it harder for the West to maintain a united front in support of Ukraine. U.S. officials and intelligence agencies acknowledge that they have limited visibility into Ukrainian decision-making. Despite Ukraine's deep dependence on the United States for military, intelligence, and diplomatic support, Ukrainian officials are not always transparent with their American counterparts about their military operations, especially those against Russian targets behind enemy lines. Those operations have frustrated U.S. officials who believe that they have not measurably improved Ukraine's position on the battlefield, but have risked alienating European allies and widening the war. The operations that have unnerved the United States include a strike in early August on Russia's Sakhy Air Base on the western coast of Crimea, a truck bombing in October destroying part of the Kerch Strait Bridge, which links Russia to Crimea, and drone strikes in December aimed at Russian military bases in Ryazan and Ingles, about 300 miles beyond the Ukrainian border. But there have been other acts of sabotage and violence of more ambiguous provenance that U.S. intel agencies have had a harder time attributing to Ukrainian security services. One was a car bomb near Moscow in August that killed Daria Dugina, the daughter of a prominent Russian nationalist. Kiev denied any involvement, but U.S. intel agencies eventually came to believe the killing was authorized by what officials call elements of the Ukrainian government. I'd infer they're talking about President Zelensky himself. In response to the finding, the Biden admin privately rebuked the Ukrainians and warned them against taking similar actions. The explosions that ruptured the Nord Stream pipeline took place 5 weeks after Ms. Dugina's killing. After the Nord Stream operation, there was hushed speculation and worry in Washington that parts of the Ukrainian government might have been involved in that operation as well. End of quote. Of course, all of this is not to say the U.S. did not conduct the Nord Stream sabotage, just as Seymour Hersh has reported, and yet still cynically blames Ukraine. Hersh ridiculed the Times story in an email to Consortium News, which sought his comment. In directing attention toward the Ukrainian government's possible culpability, U.S. intelligence get a twofer. It deflects blame from the U.S. and prepares the public for the United States to justify abandoning Ukraine after all the U.S. has invested in its adventure to weaken Russia and topple its government through an economic information and proxy war, all of which have failed. A consensus is forming among Western leaders that the war against Russia in Ukraine is lost. Thus, Washington would have to save face to pull off such a reversal of policy, insinuating that Ukraine blew up the pipelines of its ally Germany could help the U.S. climb down from its strident position in support of Ukraine. on the same day, the New York Times story, a joint investigation by a major German newspaper, Die Zeit, and the ARD broadcast network also reported the pipeline attack was linked to Ukraine. Die Zeit reports, according to a machine translation, quote, "The German investigative authorities have apparently made a breakthrough in solving the attack on the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines. After joint research by the ARD Capital Studio, the ARD political magazine Contrasta, SWR, and Zeit, it was possible to largely reconstruct how and when the explosive attack was prepared in the course of the investigation. Accordingly, traces lead in the direction of Ukraine," end quote. Just like the Times report, Die Zeit also hedges its reporting, saying, "Investigators have not yet found any evidence as to who ordered the destruction. It might not be credible to immediately blame Ukraine." The sources for these articles may be employing a tactic to gradually prepare the public for more definitive blame later. The Zeit does provide a level of detail missing from the Time report. However, the investigation, quote, "managed to identify the boat allegedly used for the secret operation. It is said to be a yacht rented from a company based in Poland, apparently owned by two Ukrainians. According to the investigation, the secret operation at sea was carried out by a team of six people. It is said to have been five men and one woman. Accordingly, the group consisted of a captain, two divers, two diving assistants, and a doctor, who are said to have transported the explosive to the crime scene and placed them there. The nationality of the perpetrators is apparently unclear. The culprits used professionally forged passports, which were said to have been used, among other things, to rent the boat," end quote. Bullshit. That both articles appeared on the same day in major U.S. and German publications, including the Washington Post, might indicate a degree of coordination between U.S. and German intelligence. On Friday, just 4 days before the articles appeared, German Chancellor Olaf Scholz made an unusual trip from Berlin to Washington, where he immediately went to the White House for a meeting with President Joe Biden. No aides were present in the Oval Office with the two men. The meeting lasted just over an hour. There was no press conference afterwards, and Scholz did not allow press on his plane. He returned to the airport after the meeting to fly back to Berlin. Clearly, the two men did not want to discuss a sensitive matter over the phone or in a video link. The Times was fed this piece from U.S. intelligence as stories continue to be leaked, showing Western leaders do not believe Ukraine can win the war, despite their public pronouncements, and that Kiev must cut its losses and seek a settlement with Russia. The Wall Street Journal reported 11 days ago, quote, "A public rhetoric mass deepening private doubts among politicians in the UK, France, and Germany that Ukraine will be able to expel the Russians from the eastern Ukraine and Crimea, which Russia has controlled since 2014, and I believe that the West can only help sustain the war effort for so long, especially if the conflict settles into a stalemate," officials from the three countries say. "We keep repeating that Russia mustn't win. But what does that mean? If the war goes on for long enough with this intensity, Ukraine's losses will become unbearable," a senior French official said. "And no one believes they will be able to retrieve Crimea," end quote. French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Olaf Scholz told Zelensky at an Elysee Palace dinner last month he must consider peace talks with Moscow, the journal reported. According to its source, the newspaper quoted Macron as telling Zelensky that, quote, even mortal enemies like France and Germany had to make peace after World War II. Macron told Zelensky he had been a great war leader, but he would eventually have to shift into political statesmanship to make difficult decisions. Meanwhile, Bakhmut, a major turning point in the war that would force a huge decision for Washington may come if Russia can complete its military takeover of Bakhmut. And I guarantee you 100% is happening even as I speak. The battle for the city in Donbass has been raging since last summer and has intensified in the past weeks. Russia has nearly encircled the entire city, trapping an estimated 10,000 Ukrainian troops inside. Ukraine had repeatedly played down the importance of Bakhmut, but nevertheless has continually sent in droves of soldiers to their death. Bakhmut is an important hub in Ukraine's defense of Donbass. In an interview with CNN yesterday, Zelensky at last admitted Bakhmut's vital importance to Ukraine. Quote, we understand that after Bakhmut, they could go further. They could go to Kramatorsk. They could go to Slovansk. It would be open road for the Russians after Bakhmut to other towns in Ukraine in the Donetsk direction, he told Wolf Blitzer. That's why our guys are standing there. The fall of Bakhmut to Russia would be a major humiliation for Zelensky and Ukraine, as well as for the United States and Europe. The U.S. would have a major choice to make. Continue to escalate the war with a danger that it could lead to a NATO-Russia confrontation that could go nuclear, or press Ukraine to absorb its losses and seek a settlement. Russia, however, would then be in a position to dictate terms, possibly recognition of four Eastern Ukrainian oblasts as part of Russia after a referenda there voted to join the Russian Federation, Ukraine agreeing to be a neutral nation that will not join NATO, demilitarization of Ukraine and disbanding of neo-Nazi units. Portraying Ukraine as an unworthy partner that blew up German pipelines might help minimize the humiliation to the West if this were to happen. Then again, neoconservatives in Washington and in European capitals might win out in the battle with the realists and continue pressing the war, while the realists at this stage seem to have the upper hand. Very significant stuff. And I dare say the situation for Ukraine is as dire as it could be absent complete defeat, which in my judgment is taking place. Now, a phone call just before the break was a very reliable source explained to me that January 6th has spun completely out of control of the Democrat propagandists, that this is having a huge impact on the American public. And where I believe Tucker Carlson has done a wonderful job in terms of his exposés to date. Here we have the Epoch Times reporting. McCarthy agrees to full public release of January 6th tapes. This is certainly expected and welcome. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has agreed to a full public release of the security footage recorded at U.S. Capitol during the events of January 6, 2021. In an interview with Breitbart News that aired on Thursday, McCarthy discussed his decision to share the footage with Fox News host Tucker Carlson and said defendants who are facing charges after going to the Capitol on January 6 should be able to see the footage for their own defense in court. when asked whether he would fully release the Capitol security footage to the public. The Republican House Speaker responded in the affirmative before adding that the footage would first have to go through a security review. "We just want to make sure we go through them all, and it takes time," he said. McCarthy's assurance that he would pursue a broad public release of the security footage comes as a growing number of January 6th defendants have asked for their trials to be delayed so they can review the footage. McCarthy told Breitbart he was making no personal judgment about what the security footage shows, but said that, "To be fair and equal justice, if there's any person that's accused, they should be able to have a right to see the tapes to make their own defense." Some of the Capitol security footage that Carlson aired on Monday night showed police officers leading Jacob Chansley, the so-called QAnon shaman, around the building. Tucker described the officers as having acted like tour guides for Chansley, who pled guilty on a number of obstruction of an official proceeding charges and was sentenced to more than 4.5 years in prison. After seeing the new footage shared by Carlson, Chansley's former attorney Albert Watkins told Fox he had not been able to review this same footage before his client signed a plea agreement. Watkins said he had requested any evidence that could support his client's innocence and, regardless of his own request for the footage, that prosecutors had an absolute duty to provide such evidence. Several Democrat lawmakers have accused McCarthy of jeopardizing the security of the U.S. Capitol with his decision to share security footage with Tucker and potentially the broader public. In an interview with MSNBC, Representative Eric Swalwell said that by sharing the January 6th Capitol security footage, McCarthy just gave the proudest boy of all a blueprint for the Capitol. Who knows where that will land for the next insurrection? What bullshit. Representative Bernie Thompson, who of course was the head of the committee, has said McCarthy owes the American people an explanation of why he has done so and what steps he has taken to address the significant security concerns at stake. Republicans have pushed back on claims that they are compromising security by sharing the footage. Last week, Representative Barry Loudermilk said Tucker's Fox News team was only allowed to view the tapes under a controlled setting and had to request footage, which would then go through a security review before the production team could have a copy. During the Breitbart interview, McCarthy again said a security team is reviewing the footage before sharing it with members of the news media or the broader public. McCarthy said the review is looking for various security details that would need to be protected, like special exits for lawmakers. "The most interesting thing when I sat down, when I had the team talk to the Capitol Police about making sure they had no problems with the exits and so on, they said the Democrat-led January 6th committee never asked them that," McCarthy told Breitbart, adding that the committee showed the exit of the vice president, showed the exit from my office. They literally had then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's daughter showing a secure location where they take the leadership. That's not supposed to be known to anybody. And CNN reported it. And I don't remember the press getting upset with that. McCarthy also pushed back on Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer after the senator accused Tucker of downplaying the events on January 6, 2021, and called for Fox to stop Tucker from sharing additional footage. "I wish Chuck Schumer would read the Constitution," McCarthy said. "The Democrats always go to censorship. They want to use government as much as they can to censor people." all that I think is very appropriate, very telling. And I believe that the Democrats are in a major dilemma here, because they're going to try to censor all this information, but they're not going to be successful. There's no question but what it is going to get out. And I have no doubt, therefore, that the enormous divergence between what we were told by the January 6th committee and the selected imagery that they allowed to be broadcast, and that to which we have access now because of Tucker and the further revelation to come, is going to destroy the credibility of the Democrat Party. Now, many of us did not believe the Democrat Party had any credibility to begin with. But you have to understand the politics of these fake scenarios, the role of propaganda. They put out the story. It's a fake story, totally fabricated, selective use evidence, maintaining, of course, that it's the truth. And then when they steal the election using Dominion voting machines, the motto of which, remember, is changing the way you vote, as from Republican to Democrat, to claim that's because of January 6th. In other words, they put up the propaganda and then they act as though it's true and make claims about the consequences of people believing it's true, which might very well be to vote to support Democrats and against Republicans when it's not the case. You got to understand the role of propaganda. It's to achieve plausible deniability vis-a-vis the theft of elections. And because January 6th was all about the theft of the 2020 election, it's an acute, absolutely critical case here. And it appears is being exposed from A to Z.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal
to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're waiting on Jim. He must have taken an extra long coffee break. Anyway, I hope y'all are having a great day. Don't forget to support Revolution Radio. Well, Jim, did you make it? let's see. Can we play? Yeah, Jim, we can play that clip. I still got it right here. But anyway, Jim, we don't hear you here on air if you're, or is it me? Well, better make sure, huh? There he is. That you, Jim? Nope. I don't see Jim. All right. Well, everybody, Jim, are you okay there, my friend? No audio. Maybe Jim went and get some extra coffee. I'm not sure. I hope he's doing okay. I hope he didn't fall down the steps or something. Good God, that'd be that wouldn't be good. Jim. Hello? Still don't hear you, Jim. Can't imagine you'd be gone this long. Yeah. I still can't hear you, Jim. Maybe I'm deaf. Let me check the server again. Because I don't hear any audio coming from you, my friend. There you are.
That was a bit of a catastrophe. There's something going on here that I'm having to deal with. It's of the utmost significance. Do you have the Tucker tape clip I gave you for Wednesday that we did not use with Sarah Westall?
Let me find it. Yeah, the media outrage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Well, look, let me talk about, let me just say a few words. I think Tucker is doing a brilliant job with all of this, and that what we got to do is, follow up. The American people just have to pay attention, and I think they are. Let's go ahead and listen to what Tucker's got to say here on this particular clip, and then I'll follow it up. We got it?
It just takes a second to get back to everything. There it is.
Oh, well, I can play it myself and just run it.
Which include the leaders of the Democratic Party and their allies in the media, had a complete monopoly on what you were allowed to know about what happened, what actually happened in the Capitol on January 6th. And they defended that monopoly with great ferocity, as monopolists tend to do. So the moment we broke that monopoly, simply by getting access to the footage, it's not hard. That's what you're supposed to do when you work in the news business. Other media outlets went crazy. They all did. And we just couldn't resist, not to be self-referential, but it's too hilarious. So we assembled a montage. Here it is.
What we saw tonight, Allison, from Tucker is nothing new. He has been trying to sanitize the very real violence that we all saw unfold at the U.S. Capitol.
41,000 hours of footage from an attempted coup is federal evidence. How on earth is Kevin McCarthy trying to justify the fellow members of Congress giving 41,000 hours of federal investigative evidence and material to Fox News?
This is the danger of not fairness, unfairness. You should give it to every news organization at the same time.
What's next? Is the Speaker of the House going to turn over the daily schedules of the Capitol Police? Are they going to give them the codes to the locked doors?
Nobody that believes any of that garbage Tucker was spewing, none of their kids will ever believe that garbage.
It feels like a Soviet system, or, you know, the way the Nazis would build a Potemkin village. Tucker Carlson's doing the same thing with the footage from 1-6.
The footage.
We're both Soviet and Nazi. What you're hearing, of course, is panic. It's fear. A hurt dog barks. But it's still pretty funny.
Well, Tucker's doing a great job here. He's released a lot of that footage. Here he's talking about it. Here's a report about what you're just hearing. The media is in an absolute panic right now, scrambling to find excuses and distractions. On Monday, Tucker released footage that proved that they lied about the alleged insurrection on January 6th. In one fell swoop, Tucker destroyed the entire narrative. Needless to say, politicians and the media did not react well. Chuck Schumer had a fit over the footage. It wasn't just the Democrats, though. Rhinos like Adam Kinzinger and Mitch McConnell openly criticized Tucker for releasing the footage. Tucker continued the story on Tuesday, but not before releasing a supercut of the media meltdown. Watch this. Tucker laughs at a montage of the media panicking about his January 6th coverage. The leaders of the Democrat Party and their allies in the media had a complete monopoly on what you were allowed to know and what actually happened in the Capitol on January 6th. So the moment their story was blown apart, the media weren't the only ones upset. Rhino Mitch McConnell wasn't happy with Tucker either. Here's Charlie Kirk tweeting, breaking. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell calls it a mistake for Tucker Carlson and Fox News to release the never-before-seen January 6th footage. Adam Kinzinger, sir, seems worried. Daily Caller tweets, Adam Kinzinger panic-stricken over Tucker Carlson releasing January 6th footage. Kinzinger, we set history straight on the committee. Of course, nothing can talk up Schumer's reaction over the leaked footage. Here's a Columbia Bugle tweeting. They're freaking out big time. Senator Schumer went down to the Senate floor this morning to condemn Tucker Carlson's January 6th tape segment last night, to call Fox News and April Rupert to stop Tucker from releasing another report on the January 6th tapes. They fear the truth. especially fear when the people know the truth. You strathy beans, we eat it. They are very, very scared. Their narrative is collapsing. Very scared. And honestly, all the senators demanding Tucker not air his show tonight created a ridiculous Streisand effect. I think everyone will be watching Tucker. Here's Kyle Cheney tweeting, just in. USCP chief manager rips Tucker Carlson an internal message to officers. Here's the first portion. Last night, an opinion program aired commentary that was filled with offensive and, I think the word would be, false conclusions about the January 6th attack. The opinion program never reached out to this department to provide accurate context. Well, the Democrats and the DOJ have not provided any accurate context. Here's Candace Owens tweeting. Tucker Carlson must air more footage tonight. The entire swamp is losing its collective mind. They never thought the public would learn the truth. Unreal that people still don't see the DOJ played a sinister hand in this. We don't know who dropped off the pipe bombs. Remember, the FBI's had the information. They ought to have solved that long, long ago. Charlie Kirk tweets, the left-wing media is melting down, claiming Tucker Carlson cherry-picked J6 footage. But all of this is new video the public hasn't seen before. So who is guilty of cherry-picking? Tucker Carlson or the people who refuse to show us all 45,000 hours of footage? Cat Turd tweets, Tucker Carlson is a truth teller. That's why he pisses off the hysterical liars on the left. Here's another. Can't go subtext tweets, Tucker Carlson. A small group of people, which includes the leaders of the Democrat Party and their allies in the media, had a complete monopoly on what you were allowed to know about what actually happened in the Capitol on January 6th. Corporate media, collectively, releasing the January 6th footage is dangerous to our democracy. I mean, how absurd is that? Here's Zoptots tweeting, left is melting down. Here's Spisano. Here's the problem that should send shivers down the backs of both Democrats and Republicans. This J6 operation involved both parties. Look at the panic by Chuckles the Clown and Cocaine Mitch McConnell, exactly the same. They were complicit. This is the Uniparty. Meanwhile, Tucker tells Glenn Beck, January 6th committee didn't merely distort the facts, but fabricated full falsehoods. It blew my mind. Tucker with Glenn Beck. Tucker joined nationally syndicated radio host and co-founder in Blaze Media, Glenn Beck, on his radio show Wednesday to discuss the uncut and narrative destabilizing footage of the January 6th protests, which a Fox News host has been playing on his show. The Blaze previously noted that much of the footage that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy granted Tucker access to appears to contradict key claims made by members of the January 6th committee and dutifully circulated by the liberal media. Carlson noted that extra to distortions, such as the deceptive edits used to smear Senator Josh Hawley as a coward, or the addition of screaming sounds to videos originally recorded without audio, the January 6th committee advanced lies wholly severed from the reality of what actually happened at the Capitol in order to shape a politically expedient narrative. The Blaze tweets, new footage debunks the previously released Josh Hawley tape made by the January 6th committee. The surveillance footage we reviewed showed that famous clip was a sham, edited deceptively by the January 6th committee. The clip was propaganda, not evidence. The actual video clip You called the January 6th committee members liars, said Beck, referencing both Tucker's commentary Monday and committee members' promotion of the claim the Capitol Police officer Brian Sicknick had been killed as a result of injuries sustained that day. Do you make the case that they're liars? They didn't just, you know, fib a bit and eat around the corners. These are full-fledged liars, asked Beck. Tucker replied. Well, that was a stunning part to me. I've been in Washington my whole life, and my dad worked for the government. So I had a kind of root-level trust in government. My default setting is that they're not lying about anything. I've never assumed that. I was so shocked to learn that they were lying intentionally, continued the Fox News host. We have a very specific way of knowing that. January 6th, committee researchers looked at video. They bookmarked it. They left an electronic mark on the video they watched. So we know what they watched, and then we watched it. Tucker noted there's video of Jacob Chansley, of Ray Epps, of Brian Sicknick that we know they watched. That was not included in the report. That was never mentioned in the hearings. A year and a half, 1,000 witnesses, 850-page report, and this video, which overturns the story they were telling, proves it was a lie. For Jacob Chansley, the so-called QAnon shaman, this lie proved life-changing. Chansley's former lawyer recently claimed he had not seen the newly released footage, which could have aided his client against federal charges, whereas his former client had been depicted as a deranged leader of a violent mob. The footage played on Tucker's show revealed that he was escorted around the Capitol by police without incident, reported Fox News Digital. Chansley was ultimately charged with knowingly entering or remaining in any restricted building or grounds without lawful authority, and with violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds, and sentenced to 4 years in prison. There was evidently no saving Tucker's childhood presumption of government official forthrightness in the wake of reviewing the tapes of Chansley and others. We know that they lied, and that just blew my mind, Tucker said. While Carlson had no problem believing that Representative Adam Schiff would deal in lies, noting that he is a force of darkness, the cable host found it troubling that former Representative Liz Cheney, whom he's known for decades, was also a purveyor of falsehoods. I always assume she disagrees on the issues with me. No. It turns out Liz Cheney is actually affirmatively a liar, said Carlson. She knew information. She withheld it because it challenged the lie that she was telling the public. Glenn Beck tweets, Tucker Carlson explained the evidence he uncovered that led him to call the January 6th committee members liars. This video, which overturns the story they were telling they saw but hid, that just blew my mind. Senator Chuck Schumer recently borrowed a phrase coined by Adolf Hitler to condemn Tucker and McCarthy by extension for showing narrative challenging January 6th footage, suggesting that it enabled the big lie and has further eroded away at our precious democracy. Carlson suggested to Beck that this is mere projection, that the grand deception was played by those now apoplectic about his showcase of previously omitted or altered footage. This is an event that was a complex event with many facets, and they simplified it immediately into good versus evil, as they do with everything. Partly because they lacked nuance and imagination, but partly because this was a tool they were using for a purpose. It was a cudgel they were using to beat down their opponents and grab more power for themselves, said Tucker. In effect, what it did was change the definition of terrorism from something that exists in other countries and is aimed at us to Republican voters, populist voters, Bernie Sanders voters, Trump voters, anybody who questions the legitimacy of the current power holders is now redefined not as a political opponent, but as a terrorist. The Blaze recently reported that prior to Tucker Carlson's initial exhibition of footage, calling into question the claims and intentions of those on the January 6th committee, leftist journalist Chris Hedges penned an article condemning the Democrat establishment for polarizing the country and shredding civil liberty. Hedges appeared to agree with Tucker, stating that the judicial lynching against many of those who participated in the January 6th events, a lynching that is mandating years in pretrial detention and prison for misdemeanors, is part of a broader statist effort, corroding democratic institutions and bringing the U.S. closer toward tyranny. Tucker suggested the false narrative constructed around January 6th and the corresponding redefinition of terrorism have excused the weaponization of the FBI, the CIA, and other government agencies against the political opponents of the Washington establishment. Our own government has been harnessed as a political tool. It's like the one thing you can't allow, said Tucker. Brilliant stuff. Great interview. Track it down. More. Elon Musk accuses January 6th committee of misleading the public. Twitter CEO Elon Musk has accused the former January 6th 2021 select committee, dominated by House Democrats, of misleading the American public about the so-called riot at the U.S. Capitol. Musk's accusation came in reaction to the airing of previously unseen January 6th footage by Fox News, which shows that what happened inside the U.S. Capitol seemed much more orderly than it was presented publicly. The footage was aired on Tucker Carlson Tonight after the new Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy, gave the show's host access to more than 40,000 hours of January 6th videos. Billionaire Elon Musk's comments on the new footage came in response to a tweet criticizing the former January 6th committee members for lying. The Twitter owner directed his tweet to some of the select committee members. Democrat U.S. Representative Adam Schiff of California and former GOP Representative Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Cheney and Kinzinger were the only two Republicans on Nancy Pelosi's committee who took an anti-Trump stance, leading the former president to label them rhinos, Republicans in name only. Besides misleading the public, they withheld evidence for partisan political reasons that sent people to prison for far more serious crimes than they committed, Elon Musk wrote regarding the January 6th committee members. This is deeply wrong legally and morally, he added. The footage that the new GOP House Speaker Kevin McCarthy released from the January 6th protesters at the Capitol appeared to contrast the narrative presented by former Speaker Nancy Pelosi's select committee that investigated the events on that day, Newsmax commented. The report stressed that the new video showed that the QAnon shaman, Jacob Chansley, was escorted by at least nine police officers inside the Capitol. Fox News host Tucker Carlson said in his commentary that may be taken as an indication of the officers' complicity in the breach of the Capitol. House Speaker McCarthy released the footage after Democrats had insisted it should be kept from the American public over security concerns. I was asked in the press about these tapes, and I said they do belong to the American public, McCarthy told the New York Times February 22nd. I think sunshine lets everybody make their own judgment, the California Republican declared. The final report of the January 6th Select Committee, which included seven Democrats and the two above-mentioned anti-Trump Republicans concluded that then-President Donald Trump participated in a multi-part conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election illegally. It's also claimed that Trump failed to prevent his supporters from storming the U.S. Capitol. Here's another tweet and from NBC News. Tucker Carlson, with newly released video provided him by Speaker McCarthy, falsely portrays the January 6th riot at a peaceful gathering. Clandestine tweets, the party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final, most essential command. Meanwhile, we have my colleague Carl Herman sending me the following email. Three facts proven by Tucker's January 6th film evidence Demsurrectionists must ignore. Number one, the Viking Horde Jacob Chapman. We'll be right back after this and we'll take your calls. 540-352-4452. We'll be right back.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
All right. Hey, nobody's called yet.
Okay, Mitchell, thank you. I was reporting the three facts proved by Tucker's J6 film evidence shared with me by Carl Herman, who's one of the commentators on my Need to Know show. Demsurrectionists must ignore. First, the Viking Horn Jacob Chansley, who was charged with violent entry to the Capitol, was later depicted as having fought his way through the building to storm the Senate chambers. In fact, walked the hall calmly in the company of police officers who didn't try to stop him and who, in fact, tried to open doors for him. Second, Senator Josh Hawley, who was depicted by the January 6th committee as a coward who ran alone from the mob, in fact, followed police directions and left an area with many other legislators. Third, Officer Brian Sicknick, who has repeatedly been depicted as an officer who was murdered by violent insurrectionists in the Capitol on January 6th, can be seen walking around unharmed in the Capitol after he's supposed to have been killed. All those are key points. The whole business was such an extraordinary act of propaganda, Mitchell, is just shocking, and I'm so pleased that all hell appears to be breaking out over this if the reports I'm getting are correct and well-founded. Your thoughts, my friend?
Well, it's a dog and pony show, Jim. It's the good old uni-party circle jerk. They aren't going to do effing jack shit. The mother effing sons of bitches are going to jack everybody's chain and then say, oh my God, look, the statute of limitations has run out. Listen, I don't believe our government is capable of holding itself responsible for anything that it has done. Whether it is the terrorism against Russia, the color revolutions to overthrow sovereign nations as if they don't matter and don't give a shit about the death and destruction caused by the empire-building democracy neocons and neoliberals. Democracy, my ass. Corporate fascism. That's what it is.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We do have a caller from the 864 area code. Give us your first name and state, caller, and join the conversation, 864.
Hey, Jim, this is Bruce in the Carolinas.
Please, and, Bruce. Yeah.
And Mitchell, Mitchell's right on point. The only thing I have to say to Mitchell is amen. You're right on point. I happened to notice I was going to call in about your strong spar you had with Sarah and Paul on Wednesday. I was going to make some comments about that.
That's fine. You go right ahead, Bruce. That's fine.
Yeah. Now, what you're talking about is also important, that insurrection of January 6th. That's one of the reasons why people aren't here rioting. It's because they're afraid that Antifa or BLM might be out there and cause damage, and nobody wants to lose their jobs over this nonsense. The AG is a paid player is what he is. All this nonsense that's going on. Well, let me just back up and say that Paul brought up a very strong point. Is that he believed that it was all everybody in the kosher Rat Pack assembly. We've got to understand that it's not all of them. It's all of them is where we need to be thinking. And that's what our whole problem is.
Bruce, repeat that. Bruce, I want to make sure I get your point clear. Repeat that in other words. Tell us again.
Again, and that is, you hear a lot of people, a lot of hosts, a lot of people say it's not all of them. It's what promoted, Sarah said that when Paul reacted to it. And she's not right. It's not all of them. I mean, she is right. It's not all of them. The problem we need to be thinking about is it doesn't take all of them. It's just enough of all of them. That's our whole problem, okay? And when you put in the kosher Rat Pack assembly, you've got five different groups inside the Jewish community, and they're all trying to think that there's two of them are good and then the other three are bad. No, they're all bad. Every damn one of them is bad. What decent person walking this earth would ever want to be a Jew with their reputation? And the crap that's going up there in Ukraine is real simple to understand that. That is nothing more than an Israeli attempt to colonize Israel, colonize Ukraine for Israel. That's all that's going on. We have had every war that we've ever been in since the American Revolution has been started by the Jews. Every single damn one of them. And people need to understand that they're getting ready to go ahead and cut that loose and put in the draft to take our sons, and now they want our daughters and our grandchildren to go fight for Israel? I don't think so. I think it's time that somebody took a drone, and next time Netanyahu's in front of Knesset, just drop something down their chimney and vaporize every damn one of those bastards. The only way you're going to get America back is only one way. The Byzantine Empire lasted 1,500 years, the longest empire on this earth. And the reason is that they wouldn't let the Jews in to do any leadership positions at all. They were merchants, and they were allowed to be merchants, and that's it. You've got to remove these people. They're nothing but destroyers. Those are facts. Their behavior and their history proves it. Ever since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, we've had a Jewish-born president ever since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Every single one of them has been born from a mother Jew. So you've got to start understanding these people are destroyers. They were hired to take America down. They want the Constitution to go away, and they want the they want our guns, okay? And there's several points that they're trying to do. We're in depopulation and downsizing as we speak right now. One of the biggest problems we've got is that the natural resources of the earth are being depleted because of the population demand. The Jewish leadership are correct by downsizing and depopulating. You've got to do that, otherwise this world's going to go away. So you've got to start doing that right now. The natural resources
are. Are you aware actually that birth rates have been falling? I mean, and there are ways to do it that are voluntary rather than involuntary, and certainly. I can't believe you're endorsing the idea of mass genocide. I presume that's not your purpose.
No, that's not. You are correct. The World Economic Forum just made a comment that the white race should be only restricted to one offspring, and that's it. That's BS, okay? This whole thing has become going out of control for one reason. It's all about the Benjamin. They all want that money. You get these people getting that greedy, and they'll slaughter anybody in sight. But Israel's all about they lie, they cheat, they steal, they murder. That's all they do. Look at your Congress up; they've all been bought off. They don't represent America. This isn't Western civilization. This isn't Western America. They've got to be removed. There's no question. There's no changes about that. Allow them to be merchants, and that's it. They're not to be in the gatekeeper positions. Political positions of power and authority under any circumstances. Otherwise, that's the best human way to handle this. And it does work quite well, but you've got to get it implemented first. Look at all your people up there who are running their damn mouths, Chuckie Schumer, what a joke he is. And he and his wife, boyfriend. I mean, these people are disgusting. This is not America. And by the way, three out of four Jewish men happen to be bisexuals. That's where a lot of this crap is coming from. And they're throwing it right down everybody's throat, thinking, do you have to accept this? No, you don't. This is a Christian-based country. It needs to stay that way. And that whole border down there, you need to take Biden, his whole administration, and put him in front of a fire squad. That's what has to happen to them. These people are selling this country out, and it's all awful for Israel. This is a bunch of crap. Something needs to be done, and it's going to get done real quick if it's not done behind the scenes.
So, Mitchell, would you like to comment on Bruce's review of the bidding?
Oh, I don't know. I can't paint such a broad swath like that. You know, but he is correct that, you know, if you look at all the congressmen, you know, it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, uniparty, shit for brains. It really doesn't matter. They have almost all signed this loyalty pledge to a foreign country named Israel. Just the same as Hillary Clinton hired a foreign spy from Britain named Steele. And nobody seems to give a flying, I won't say that F word, but yeah. Nobody seems to care. It's normalized now that Americans are allowing politicians or government officials to essentially allow the world or foreigners hired as basically political mercenaries to essentially socialize and take down our government and our government officials like Trump, who was elected. That's why Trump was the accidental president. Does anybody think it's a freaking accident that on January 5th or January 6th, 2017, Traitor 44, shit for brains vice president at the time, the chief of staff and all those folks met to plot their strategy to take down the Trump team? You want to talk about a real insurrection? And then you have to get then to the American Reichstag of J6, okay? Listen, if people understood that Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party hired foreign nationals to attempt to steal the election in 2016, the rigging using ballot boxes and artificial ballots is not so far-fetched in 2020. That's the truth that nobody wants to say.
We've been joined by area code 408. My best guess is that would be Paul. Join the conversation, please. Paul, go ahead. Mitchell, do we have 408 there or not? Mitchell, do we have 408
there? He was here. He was here, and then he left.
All right.
Here he's calling back. Maybe he had a bad signal.
All right.
Jim, I have something else to pass on to you.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul. Go ahead, Bruce.
Jim, I've personally talked to two people who inspected from that Sandy Hook situation in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right straight from the horse's mouth, nobody was killed at Sandy Hook.
Of course. That's the title of my book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook.
And these people want to play this game, they need to be visited. And very seriously is visited. We've had enough of damn lies, the cheating. There's no integrity in the courtrooms anymore. They're all owned and operated by Kosher Rat Pack. And by the way, there's a brand new Kosher Rat Pack out there, Jim. Everybody ought to know about it. The new Kosher, the new KKK. It stands for the Kosher Kaka Clan.
Okay, is that another name for the Democrat Party in its present incarnation?
Whatever they're doing, it's pretty obvious. They lie, they cheat, they steal, and they murder to get what they want. Who heads them up, huh? Who heads all those people up?
Yeah. Paul, go ahead. Join the conversation. Paul. Did we lose him again, Mitchell?
Step up, Paul.
Bruce, go ahead, elaborate. We'll catch him as we can.
Yeah.
Bruce, if you want to add more. Yeah. I presume you're not at liberty to identify your sources about nobody having died at Sandy Hook, but, you know, of course. I mean, it was a FEMA exercise, and one of the reasons why people haven't come forward as they're under contract to the government. They got paid for their role. They auditioned for the roles. They've been paid for the role, and they agreed not to disclose under penalty of law. I mean, this is something the public needs to understand. This is a community, a capstone event, where the government paid off the community to participate in this whole event. It was years in the planning. There were members of the community who moved out because they did not want to be a part of it. So you wound up having a certain degree of solidarity among those who remained and participated. Meanwhile, we have Mitchell and Paul having problems with Skype and connectivity. Paul, if you're able to join, just speak right up. Paul. Bruce, give us more of your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts go back a long way. I used to run with a real hot crowd out of Atlanta, Federal Reserve, over 25 years ago, and I learned plenty. I didn't understand what they were talking about, but I do now. The last 15, 20 years, I've understood it. And you've got to do the thinking has got to go into the Byzantine thinking, okay? That group of people, better known as the Kikes or the Canaanites or the Edomites, the Bolsheviks, they're very deadly people. And they've got to be removed from society as far as leadership positions. Western philosophies and morals and standards have pretty much gone away. They're being destroyed. And this infiltration of other groups of people coming in here is nothing more than allowing crime to explode in this country. My advice to everybody listening to me right now is arm up and use it anytime you want to. That's what they want to do is pull you into their courtrooms and find you guilty. Just like this man, this 74-year-old man down in Texas who shot some drug dealers down there, and now he's being blamed for it. Well, that district attorney ought to be hung out in public. And I've had enough of this nonsense. These people need to be taken and put down in Gitmo for the rest of their damn lives. And I mean every member of Biden's administration need to be put down in Gitmo and just take them, leave them down there for the rest of their lives. To hell with them. So we've got some serious problems, and it's coming right from one group of people who come out of who represent Israel. Israel's a rogue terror state. It lies, cheats, steals, and murders to get what it wants. It's time to stop this nonsense. And if I was in Germany, I'd kill every single one of those judges who took place in incarcerating those people that the Jews went after because of the World War II, and they put them in jail. No, every one of those judges need to be put in jail themselves. And by the way, the Holocaust is a hoax. If you look very carefully and read very carefully, stop believing this crap about 6 million Jews being gassed. Not one person in 19 camps in 4 years was ever gassed to death. Not one. Or they put them on the cattle cars and they come off and they gas them. No, they de-liced them is what they did. They de-liced them. And one of the reasons why Hitler put them on cattle cars was to move their asses out of Germany because they were destroying the damn place. Those are all facts, by the way, people. That's history. You need to learn what it's all about. And I have something else I want to ask everybody. Every time you hear somebody say anti-Semitic, well, Jews aren't Semites. They want you to believe that being anti-Semitic means anti-Jew. No, it doesn't. Jews aren't Semites. That's a bunch of crap. I'm anti-Semitic. I'm also anti-bear as in grizzly, anti-shark as in jaws, anti-snake as in poisonous. I'm tired of the rope-a-doping nonsense that these people put out. Just get right there back in their face and tell them, well, what's wrong with being anti-Semitic? What's wrong with that? Another little subject that we get discussed about is what the hell's wrong with slavery? What's wrong with it? If it wasn't for slavery, the black asses wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for the white man, the black asses would still be slaves. And this Black Lives Matter nonsense, that's a bunch of crap. You take the leadership of those people and put them in jail for the rest of their lives and stop letting people like George Soros pay them off. George Soros needs to be rounded up, and everything he's doing needs to be put out in front. We need America back. Western civilization, its culture, its morals, its standards. And Paul is right. It doesn't take all of them, but they're all involved in it. What decent person walking this earth would ever want to be a Jew with their background? Then you have the ones called the Messianic Jews. Oh, yeah, well, we believe in Jesus and God. No, you don't. Your God happens to be Lucifer, and that's a biblical fact. And I have one question for you, Jim. It's real interesting. The In order for the biblical Israel to exist, who has to return?
Oh, you mean the Antichrist?
No. In order for the biblical Israel, the true biblical Israel to exist, who has to return? It can't exist until the true biblical Israel cannot exist until the return of who? Jesus, okay? So here's my big question.
Go ahead, just lay it all on. Go ahead, Bruce. You're playing quite a role.
Yeah, okay. Well, the true biblical history cannot exist until the return of who? It's Jesus, the Messiah, okay?
Yeah.
So here's my big question, everybody. What's it doing there right now?
Tell me what you got in mind. You think Jesus is returning?
No, it's man-made, not God-made. And there's the BS that's going on with the Jews. They've got you all tricked. And those are biblical facts. And by the way, somebody else is tampering with the Bible, too. One of your Ten Commandments has been changed.
Which commandment would that be, Bruce? Which commandment would that be?
I think it's number 6, thou shalt not kill. What does it say now? What does it say now? Uh-huh. Thou shalt not murder. It's been changed. Well, if those were God's words, who gave God permission for them to change it? And who is doing that? Up in Matthews, North Carolina, is the Bible publishing belt for the Bibles, okay? All the Jews own those up there. They're tampered with the Bible. Look and see what's in Isaiah 11:6. I'll repeat that. Isaiah 11:6. It now says, the wolf will lie with the sheep. The wolf will lie with the sheep. What did it say before they changed it? The lion will lie with the lamb. Remember that one?
Sure.
See, they're tampering with it. They've got you screwed over. You'll be real careful with the Jews. And look and see what they're doing with taking all their people coming out of colleges, and they're putting them into gatekeeper positions in colleges and also into your teaching professions, because it stabilizes their families. And it's all paid by the taxpayer, isn't it? How about that? And who's behind all that thinking? Henry Kissinger, a war criminal. Bush Jr., he's also a war criminal. Obama's a war criminal. He's Jewish, too, by the way. His mother, Stanley Ann Dunham, is from the Armour Meatpacking Jewish dynasty. He's Jewish. And you've got Blinken in there. Cheney, all those people are all Jewish. This is a Jewish takeover of this country. It's already happened. So you've got to start waking up to this stuff. And it's simple. Don't do anything with a Jew. Find out who owns Jewish companies, Twitter, all that stuff. There's one thing about religion that I fall into. It's real simple for me. Religion is based, is my philosophy is like this. Religion is when you invite all your friends to bring their gods to a round table. And you all sit down and you Twitter and you email and you Facebook and you argue and you fight over which one of your gods has the biggest dick. I'm done, Jim.
Well, Bruce, I appreciate your calling in. You've certainly been emphatic and you have not pulled any punches, and I greatly appreciate that. Mitchell's at Skype issues. He's been frozen out of the conversation, or I would have had his further additional remarks. I would have had Paul on here, but Paul, for reasons no doubt technical, was unable to connect. Is there anyone out there who can add a further word? Bruce, and I thank you so much for everything you had to say. Whether I agree with all that is a whole other matter, but we're virtually to the end of the show. And I'm glad for you to have the opportunity to share your thoughts with everyone. We're about to the end here. Okay, I think that the major development here, that the devastation of the NATO command in Kiev by the Russians is a traumatic event. I think Hunter's release of the January 6th event right here for the Democrats is a traumatic event. So we got a traumatic event for Kiev and Ukraine by Russia, taking out the NATO covert base. And we got a traumatic event for the Democrats, Schumer, Pelosi, and the like. By Tucker revealing the lies of the January 6th committee, this is all to the good, everyone. This is all to the good. Getting the truth out where the American people understand what's going on. But bear in mind, the Democrats could run a ham sandwich, and if we can't get rid of the electronic voting machines, we're out of luck. They'll elect morons again and again and again. Meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left.
Jim?
Yeah.
I'd first like to say we could sure use Trump on our team, but we don't need him as quarterback.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...